Eucharist and of the priesthood. So to follow that in your missal, and don't have your only one to use, one of the Holy Week books. And then after the end of Mass, or the session to the altar to close, at that point, you're welcome to follow the fire and come forward so you can actually watch the incensation there, and then you return to our places. And at that point, there will be the stripping of the altars. So it's Psalm 21, they have divided my parents among them, and then increasing the altar would take all of the various ornaments off the altar. So the son that our Lord was taken prisoner, he was stripped of his garments. And then through the night, then we will have our hours of adoration when you go into the altar of repose, provided your visits are capable, and kneel down on both knees. And that's just before you come and you leave, you're moving from one side to another. It's a single genuflection. And during that hour, then, is a precious time to spend with our Savior to respond to his words, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" We should return thanks to him for all that he's done for us. And also, we're rightly to ask for those graces that we need in order to follow him faithfully. Today I would like to share with you an explanation of Holy Thursday from Saint Jerome J. in the book The Liturgical Year. This is an excerpt from it. "The Church intends on this day to renew in a most solemn manner the mystery of the Last Supper. For our Lord himself, on this occasion of the institution of the Blessed Sacrament, said to his apostles, 'Do this for a commemoration of me.' Let us therefore summarize the gospel narrative. Jesus is in the supper chamber for the paschal lamb is to be eaten. All the apostles are with him. Judas is there also, but his time is not known to the rest. Jesus approaches the table on which the lamb is served. His disciples stand around him. The ceremonies prescribed by God to Moses are religiously observed. At the beginning of the repast, Jesus speaks these words to his apostles: 'With desire have I desired to eat this past with you before I suffer.' In saying this, he does not imply that the past of this year is intrinsically better than those that have been preceded it, but that this is dearer to him, inasmuch as to give rise to the institution of the new past, which is he has prepared for mankind, and which he is now going to give to them as his last gift. For as St. John says, 'Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them unto the end.' The Mass of Maundy Thursday is one of the most solemn of the year, and although the Feast of Corpus Christi is the day for the solemn honoring of the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, so the Church would have the anniversary of the Last Supper to be celebrated with all possible splendor. The color of the vestments is white, as it is for Christmas Day and Easter Sunday. The decorations of the altar and the sanctuary all bespeak joy. And yet there are several ceremonies during this Mass which show that the Holy Spouse of Christ has not forgotten the passage of her Jesus, and that this joy is but transient. The priest intones the angelic hymn, the Gloria, glory to God in the highest, and the bells ring forth a joyous peal, which continues through the whole singing of the heavenly canticle. But from that moment there remains silence. The long signs produce in every heart a sentiment of holy mournfulness. But why does the Church deprive us for so many hours of the grand melody of those sweet bells, whose voices cheer us even during the rest of the year?" Which is in particular the church bell for the community. "And it's to show us that this world lost all its melody and joy when its Savior suffered and was crucified. Moreover, she would remind us how the apostles were the heralds of Christ, and their figure by the bells is bringing summons of faithful to the house of God, led from the divine master, and left them a prey to his enemies. The holy sacrifice continues as usual, but at the solo moment of the elevation, the holy host and the chalice of salvation, the bell is silent. And outside the church, in many places, there's a called sanctus bell that rings with the consecration. It is not given to the neighborhood the usual signal of the descent of Jesus upon the altar. And when the time of Holy Communion is near, and this presupposes a solemn mass, because the priest, deacon, and subdeacon, so each one has a special part to play in the ceremony of the mass, that the priest does not give the kissive peace to the deacon, this solemn within the clergy, and something you don't too often see, which is part of a solemn mass, unless it's a requiem mass. And so the priest does not give the kissive peace to the deacon, or according to the apostolic tradition, should transmit it by the subdeacon to those who are about to receive Holy Communion of the clergy. Our thoughts turn to the traitor Judas, who on this very day profaned the sign of friendship in making it an instrument of death. It is out of detestation for this crime that the church admits today the sign of fraternal charity. It would too painfully remind us of sacrilegious hypocrisy. Another rite special to the day is the priest consecrating two hosts during the Mass. See, there are two chalices upon the altar. One of these he receives in Holy Communion. The other he reserves, and he reverently places it in a chalice, which he covers with a veil. The reason of this is that tomorrow the church suspends the daily sacrifice. Such is the impression produced by the anniversary of our Savior's death, that the church dares not to renew upon her altar the immolation which was then offered on Calvary. Or rather, for renewal of it will be by fixing all her thoughts on the terrible scene of that Friday noon. The host reserved for today's Mass will be her moral participation. It's called the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. It's not, strictly speaking, a Mass, but in that the priest has not consecrated, only received the host consecrated on the previous day. And then after the procession to the altar of repose, within the second post, the priest returns. And as soon as after that point, the celebrant returns to the sanctuary and he goes to the altar and takes off the altar cloths and the altar cards. Everything that makes the altar beautiful. The ceremony signifies the suspension of the holy sacrifice. The altar should be left in this empty state until the day of offering can be presented to the divine majesty. He is, our Lord, is now in the hands of his enemies, who are about to strip him of his garments. This is to be stripped the altar. And he is to be exposed, unclothed, to the insults of the rabble. Let's take these considerations to mind, to heart, today during Mass, during the ceremonies that follow Mass, and then during our hour of adoration. Consider that our Lord foresaw this willfully, and he took it for the love of you and me, and that we return our thanks when we pass, that we may be faithful to him throughout this life, so as to join him in the glory of heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.